British Sky Broadcasting presents BMX Bandits, starring David Argue as Dwayne, John Lee as Mustache, and Nicole Kidman as Judy. The film is directed by Brian Trenchard-Smith and is voiced by Edward Nudd on behalf of the MCS agency. A coastline in Australia on a bright sunny day. Ships are passing in the sea and all the surrounding tall buildings are drenched in sunlight. Bikers put on helmets. They put on protective arm pads on their elbows and gloves on their hands. They all in turn squeeze the brakes of their BMXs. Finally, they put on protective face masks that cover their entire face, except for a clear plastic section for their eyes to see through. They backpedal on the bikes and spin the foot pedal with their feet. They look at each other and set off down the street. They leave the road and cycle in line down some steps, bunny hopping as they go. They're on a path by the sea and doing stunts. One of the bikers is sitting on the handlebars facing backwards. Another does a 360-degree turn on his back wheel. One of the bikers, balancing carefully, stands up on the frame of the bike, while the other does a wheelie. The bikers are now at the beach.
This is thirsty work. Why don't we go to the pier for a milkshake?
Sure. Last one there pays.
The bikers cycle off down a path. A van outside a bank. Inside are men in boiler suits. A person in the front seat hands out shotguns to the other men in the back. They all wear plastic gloves. A woman in a smart dress walks to the entrance of the bank. She walks in. Outside in the van, men load bullets into their shotguns. Inside the building, somebody is counting money. Back outside, the men in the van now cover their faces. They put on masks that look like pig's heads. Inside the building, through the window, the van is visible, parked up by the pavement. One of the men in the van pulls the nose of an accomplice's pig mask.
Let's go!
One of the men in the back of the van hits the roof with his shotgun, and suddenly the driver puts on a fox mask, starts the car, and drives towards the building at speed. He careers straight through the middle of the road towards a large glass window.
You're staring death in the face.
All righty, kids, calm down. Fill this up. Hurry up. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, I'm having
A car outside the building starts its engines and drives off.
Hey, outside! Oh. I like red! Come on, you big fat skin!
Come on, come on! Get down!
With the girl.
Get down on the floor! I'm aching to blast someone! All right, nobody move! Nobody move for the next 5 minutes or I'll blow a hole in your brain!
Come on, come on!
Montgomery Street Bank. Senior, Johnson, Johansson, Henry, follow me. You, look after them.
A police station. And two officers in uniform make their way to a police car. The police car rolls off. The two BMX bikers are now furiously pedaling down the road. A car speeds down the street. It crosses straight across the middle of the road, narrowly missing a taxi that's coming the other way. The taxi skids to a halt. The bikers are now in front of the speeding car, which comes up close behind them. A busy street. A man carries a dummy up a ramp onto the back of his truck. An attractive woman places her basket down on the ground near a bench and rifles through it. A man sits close by. The car squeezes the bikers off the road, and they're forced to cycle up the ramp where the man is loading his truck. The biker in front hits the dummy, which is now stuck to him. He cycles past the woman who's bent over going through her basket, but as he passes, the dummy's hand slaps her bottom, and in turn she slaps the man on the bench, who's sitting close to her. The cyclist stops and the dummy flies through the air, and a vicar catches it on his shoulders between its legs. The cyclists remove their face masks and smile to each other as the vicar struggles with the dummy. A policeman appears behind the bikers.
All right, you two. I hope you realise it's against the law to ride your push bikes in this plaza. Get out of my sight before I book you.
The speeding car pulls up to a waiting vehicle on a quiet street and drops off a package. Both cars then drive off in different directions. The two bikers walk with their cycles.
Listen, Goose, you know what we gotta get?
Yeah, lost.
Not if we got our own BMX track. Well, you know, somewhere all the kids around here could ride with no hassles.
Great idea. Will we get it before or after we have our bikes gold-plated?
Other areas get them. Why can't we?
Listen, PJ, next thing you'll be telling me you believe in the Easter Bunny.
Doesn't everyone?
Race you to the mall.
See you there.
PJ and Goose put on their masks and race off. The mall. And a large kid comes out of a shop with chocolate in his mouth and eats it on his bike, then cycles off. Judy, a young attractive girl, is pushing a shopping trolley across the pavement and joins it up with all the other trolleys. The large kid cycles up to her, eating.
Hi.
Hi, Mol. Summer holiday. Don't you work enough at school?
Well, there's no way I'll get a bike like that otherwise. Won't get one by wishing for it.
I did, and I made my parents give it to me before my birthday.
What did you do? Promise to leave home?
PJ and Goose race on their bikes down the pavement. The large kid tries to separate the trolleys.
Oh, don't be a creep all your life.
Come and have a Coke when you're finished then. Hey, Mol, I've got plenty of money.
Come on, get on with it. We're waiting for them things.
Oh, sorry, I'll bring them right over.
Well, hurry up then.
Come on, see me when you're finished, eh?
The large kid gives the trolleys one more shove and four separate. They trundle into the path of PJ and Goose, who hit them and fly over the top and land on the pavement.
Don't care, I've told you. If she won't work, there's plenty that will.
Oh, but please, I need this job.
I don't care. Get to the office and tell them you're finishing up.
Well, it wasn't her fault.
Don't care whose fault it was. I don't want her friends hanging around here causing trouble.
Well, we're no friends of hers.
You're not kidding.
Never even seen her before.
I don't care, she's going.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, that's life, lad. Look, I'm really sorry about that. We'll make it up to you.
Oh, don't worry. It's all right. Are you hurt?
Only in the wallet. This is going to cost heaps.
How about you?
Oh, I'm okay. I've got 9 lives. Make that 8.
Yeah, well, pity your bike hasn't.
Goose and Judy are in an arcade trying to fix the bikes. Judy is sitting at a table trying to fix the brakes as PJ brings over some milk.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, it's the least we could do.
If it wasn't, we couldn't afford it.
Yeah, well, if you want money, you could always go into scrap metal.
Are you kidding? We'll fix them up somehow and get you mobile too.
Somehow.
Listen, if we put our heads together, we can come up with something.
Yeah, multiple dandruff.
A car warehouse. Men are spraying cars and changing number plates. A big car arrives.
Hey, it's the boss. Pay time.
The car slowly drives down the warehouse. All the men stop working. The car stops and a man carrying a leather briefcase walks down to a table where empty food cartons lie. He knocks them off with his case, then places it down and shows the men the contents. Inside are small packages wrapped in paper. He throws them at the men.
Total, $101,586.
15% apiece, as agreed. Tax-free.
Tax-free? Not bad.
We can do better.
What have you got in mind?
Payroll job.
Hey, after a couple of weeks spreading this around, we will be ready for anything.
I'm talking about now, you dummy. We hit the day after tomorrow.
We're doing okay. What's the hurry?
The boss slowly walks over to the man who asked the question.
Are you questioning my judgment?
Yeah.
Now, I've had information that a particular payroll was going to jackpot this week. The pickings won't be this good for a long time, so it's a now or never situation.
What's it worth?
$250,000. Each.
Shut it!
How do we plan to get it?
The money? Us.
The boss pushes a toy van into the back of a toy truck.
Basically, making the hit isn't a problem. Getting away is. The payroll truck is radio controlled, which is where this little beauty comes in. All the way from the US of A. This puts us one step ahead of the law. Now, this is a sample that has been specially fixed. So that we hear them, but they can't hear us. Now, without one of these each, we can't do the job, and we all kiss goodbye to a fortune. I arranged for a load of these to be brought in by ship last night. Now, they all need fixing like this one. So picking them up is top priority. Now, that's your job. They'll be at the regular drop zone.
The boss gives the police scanner to Dwayne.
Now, we need a furniture van. Minimum 3 metres wide, 8 metres deep. There is, gentlemen, a great deal at stake, and we don't have a lot of time. So give it your full attention. Anyone who screws up deals with me.
Dwayne pulls a plastic glove off his hand.
Okay, lads.
The next day, it's sunny and Judy is at a marina. PJ and Goose are on the water in an inflatable boat. They make their way to her on a pontoon. They throw her a rope.
Where'd you get this?
It came with the boat.
And the boat?
We looked on the end of the rope and there it was.
Listen, are you trying to tell me you don't want to tell me? Because if you've, you know, borrowed it or something, forget it, I'm not coming.
Shall we tell her the truth? It's not as much fun.
It's his dad's.
Judy gets into the boat and puts on a life jacket. PJ reverses the dinghy from the pontoon, puts it into gear, and they set off past the other boats in the bay. The shoreline is filled with trees and little houses.
So, what's the plan?
Don't ask me, he's the miracle worker. For an encore, he'll probably feed the 5,000. Don't knock it. At a buck ahead, our troubles would be over. Oh, yeah, with our luck, the fish would be off and we'd wind up with 5,000 cases of food poisoning.
They slow the boat down and throw a rope around a large stake that's sticking out of the water.
The way I see it, to make money you need money. Great thing about the seafood business is the merchandise comes free.
Well, I gotta admit, the price is right.
Look at them just sitting there waiting for us to take them walkies.
PJ pulls a muscle off the stake.
Oh, well, let's try the next one. Probably do better there.
What's wrong with these ones?
Oh, they're a bit young. The shops are only interested in nice, fat ones.
Yeah, just our luck. Bay's full of biggies and we find the anorexics.
It's like taking a baby orangutan to the pictures. Look at the crud in this food. Oh.
Will you get a move on? You don't have to cut lunch, you know.
Moron.
PJ, Goose and Judy now make their way to a floating pontoon in the middle of the bay.
Catch.
seat around, because last time we went out, you swallowed your tongue.
Thanks, mate.
Mustache is in a speedboat with Dwayne.
Hey, it looks like there's some big ones here.
How come you know so much about all this?
Oh, I used to do it for pocket money when I was a kid.
Old father time.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, 2 days.
Hey! What's this?
Could be a lobster pot.
Fetching $10 a kilo, lobsters. Nah, we couldn't be that lucky.
If it is, we'll really clean up. Must be the size of King Kong.
It could be sunken treasure.
Could be a dismembered body.
Oh, charming. Can you give me a hand?
There might be one in the box.
The speedboat races towards the pontoon. The group pull out a box from the water and study it.
Seems like we're out of the seafood business and into salvage.
Salvage?
Law of the sea. I saw it on TV the other night. If a ship is abandoned, anyone can claim it.
Only one snag. You mightn't have noticed, but it's not a ship.
It's abandoned.
Are you kidding?
Well, it is now.
Goose cuts a wire that's connected to the box before placing the box in their boat. As they leave, the speedboat passes them. Judy shouts out.
Wait, bud!
The speedboat races towards the pontoon. Dwayne stands ready at the front to tie the boat to a hook. Dwayne goes and pulls a string from out of the water to get the box.
Just let it drift in, Dwayne. Good on you, mate.
Get the bow off, keep the bow off, don't you hurt that paint. Come on.
Yeah, shut up.
Oh, you're a non-stop.
Shut up with the captain's talk. You put me off.
Here, look, I'll get it. There you go, I've got the hook on it. There you go.
Yeah, okay, good on you.
Go get the stuff and let's get out of here.
All right, hold the boat.
I've got it.
Do you need a 20-cent piece?
God, you break me up sometimes.
What box?
What's that?
Hey, you idiot! What have you done? You
broke it up! Don't tell me he's got it in the forest!
Those kids took it!
Hey, you want a hand with that?
No, thanks, man. I can handle it.
The kids exit their boat and carry the box off. The speedboat races towards the marina as the kids casually walk into a dark boathouse. They place the box on a container.
What do you reckon it is?
Could be a bank haul.
Could be drugs.
Could be somebody's head.
Oh, don't start that again. Hey, listen, maybe we should just hand it straight over to the police.
Somebody's head, they're welcome to it.
And if it isn't?
It's finders keepers.
The kids cut the string around the package with some scissors. The speedboat makes its way into the marina. PJ and Goose take off the wrapper that covers the box. Inside is a metal container. They take off the lid and inside are items wrapped in paper.
Walkie-talkies. Hey, there's a few bucks worth here.
From a distance, Mustache and Dwayne talk to a man on a yacht. The man points in a direction, and Mustache and Dwayne run down the pontoon.
And then there's a couple of guys at the club sure to want some. New wheels, here we come.
Yeah. Listen, we better check their range first. We don't want kids complaining they can do better with a Cooee.
Mustache and Dwayne enter the boathouse and find the container's wrapper.
Oh, poop!
Getting close.
But it's not close enough.
Goose is outside on a building high up overlooking the bay. He extends the aerial of his walkie-talkie and puts the unit to his mouth.
Goose to PJ. I'm on the roof at home. Where are you?
I'm near the beach. I've just got to get past this cop. I'll call you in a minute.
Okay, call me when you're ready.
PJ gingerly passes a police officer with a radio behind his back.
Morning, Sarge.
Don't you get smart with me, son, all right?
He crosses the road out of sight of the policeman. Judy's high up on a building. She gets her radio from out of a bag. She extends the aerial and switches it on. As PJ talks into his walkie-talkie, the police officer looks confused as he hears PJ's voice coming from his radio.
This is BJ.
This is BJ. How do you read me at this distance, Goose? Like I had X-ray vision.
Unit 3 to base, Unit 3 to base. Sarge, I've got something of an unspecified scientific nature on me walkie-talkie.
Pull the other one, Constable. It plays Jingle Bells.
Oh, it's no joke, Sergeant. I heard him. There's something about X-ray.
It could be medicos, ambulance or something.
Not on this wavelength.
This is Judy. I'm on the top of Beacon Hill. Anybody there?
This is PJ. Do you read me?
I might if you've got some interesting bits.
Oh, nothing but interesting bits.
Wait till you hear the story of my life. When I was born, the nurse looked at my...
Some other time. She's not into the X-rated material.
This is my childhood I'm talking about. It doesn't get X-rated till I was 12.
Charming.
He was a late starter.
Okay, when did things pick up for you?
I'll let you know when it happens. What is this? True confessions?
Okay, let's get to work.
Okay, see you soon.
Listen, whoever you are, this is a restricted wavelength. Public use of it is illegal. You will go to the nearest police station and hand in your transmitters.
I repeat, go to the nearest police station.
Hey, I never told you to blow your horn, did I?
Maybe they can't hear you, Sarge.
Can't or won't?
$5 with your order. The rest on delivery.
When's that?
Say the word.
$20? Where am I going to get $20? I knew it. I knew it.
I wouldn't mind going halves, but do you have it in a different colour?
PJ sits at a table at a burger bar as the large kid joins him.
How much you say?
$40.
$40? I'll give you 20.
Make it 35.
The large kid eats some more chips as he thinks about buying the walkie-talkie.
I'll give you 30, and that's my final offer.
You drive a hard bargain. Money first.
Well, it wasn't our fault. It was the bloody kids.
I don't want excuses. I want results.
All right, we'll find them. We'll find them.
You do that, or I'll find you.
Bye.
How did you go?
Fabulous. Come on, man, they've got to be around here somewhere.
Are you sure you can identify
them? Yeah, I'm sure we can. Just hit it.
As the boss leaves, Mustache pulls up in his car and Dwayne gets in. The two of them drive off. Nighttime, and Judy, PJ and Goose are in a boathouse. PJ strikes a match and lights a candle.
What is this, economy week?
It wouldn't be smart to let anyone know we're in here, especially the owner.
Thought you had run of this place.
Just like the mice. They don't pay rent either.
Mice?
Don't tell us you're scared of them.
You kidding?
This reminds me of this really good movie I saw at the drive-in once. Kiss the Blood Off My Carburetor. It was a horror road movie.
Aren't they all?
These tourists were holed up in this motel during a snowstorm. No electricity, nothing. Every time the candle blew out, somebody got it. Blood everywhere.
Are you always like this?
No, he's usually worse, all hacked to pieces. Started out with a busload. At the end, there was no one to tip the driver. Not that they would have given him much. He did it. Oh, sorry, now I've spoiled it if you ever wanted to see it.
Oh, don't worry. It's not really me. I'm more into those films, you know, when the hero holds the heroine's hand, it is still attached to her body.
Oh, that reminds me, there was this terrific bit where a guy has to put his hand into a hole to try and fix the power.
Oh, yeah?
And he's not sure if the Mad Axeman's the other side, waiting. So what happened? I don't like to say, but for the rest of the picture, they called him Stumpy.
Oh, Goose.
At first, it threw suspicion on his wife, as she'd always hated him juggling at parties. But when they found her in one bed and her head in another, they figured she was in the clear.
Why don't they make those nice movies anymore? You know, when the happy couple wind up at the altar.
They do, and it's usually in a box.
Mm. Well, can't we talk about something a bit more cheerful? I mean, look at these. At this rate, we'll all have wheels tomorrow.
If nothing goes wrong.
What can go wrong?
PJ shows Goose a walkie-talkie. The group walk home as a car passes them.
Don't look now, but I think we got trouble. You always think we got trouble. That's because we've always got trouble.
In the back of the car is Dwayne.
Maybe we should turn off, see if they follow us.
They'll follow us. I know they will.
Why do you always have to think the worst? Listen,
If they're interested in us, my name's Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Could be plainclothes police. Maybe they've heard about these.
What are we going to do?
Why not take a shortcut? They can't follow us in there with that thing.
In there?
Hey, that was them.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Keep your eyes on the road and do a U-turn.
You can understand how she feels. It's full of dead people.
Well, they're not allowed to bury him alive.
Live ones I can handle.
Look, why are you being so bossy? Because death is serious to me, mate, and if we don't find the kids...
Oh, geez, it's so spooky.
What choice do we have?
Okay, look casual. Then on the count of three, we move. One, two, three.
See, they've gone down there. Just hurry up the hill.
The kids climb over ornate cemetery gates as the car returns and pulls up.
Let's go.
Oh, careful, Dwayne.
What?
They see our faces and we're finished.
Do you think I'm an idiot? Where would we be without our disguises?
I am not going into a cemetery dressed as a pig.
Don't worry about it, mate. We're going formal.
PJ, Goose and Judy sit behind a tombstone. The graveyard is eerie and dark.
Oh, geez. Whose crazy idea was this?
Count Dracula here. Makes him feel at home, all this.
Listen, what's to be scared about? What can people do to you if they're dead?
That's what worries me. That's what worries me.
Dwayne climbs over the cemetery gates in search of the kids. They run off.
Reckon we lost him?
Yeah, I reckon we have.
Then who's that?
Who needs introductions?
They run off again as Dwayne appears from behind a gravestone in pursuit.
It's probably the police. They always go around in twos.
Yeah, but so do Mormons. Maybe it's a couple of guys trying to convert us.
Convict us? You know what? I reckon we ought to split up.
Split up? In here?
Together we got more chance of being caught. What do you reckon, PJ?
He's right. For once, he's right.
Oh, geez, alone in here?
Look, I know it's scary, but it's for the best. You can always keep in touch with the walkie-talkies.
Who needs them? My knees will knock out a message on their own.
The graveyard is dark, quiet, and nothing is stirring. From behind a tombstone, Dwayne appears wearing a goblin mask. It has lumps and bumps all over it and is shiny. He moves off. From behind another gravestone, Judy appears, slowly looking around her. Dwayne disturbs some rubble. Judy looks round and sees a plant moving. She relaxes. She cautiously moves off, looking around her all the time. Suddenly, Dwayne appears from behind her and grabs her around the neck. She hits him in the face and leaves a dent in his mask. The dent pops out and rights itself. Judy runs off and falls into an open grave. She tries to clamber back out, but the grave is too deep. Dwayne's in pursuit of Judy, but can't see her. Judy feels something on her foot. She looks down, and a rat is sitting on it. She puts her hand to her mouth to stop herself from screaming and flicks the rat to one side with her foot. Judy looks up, and suddenly Dwayne appears scratching his head at the top of the open grave where Judy has fallen. He can't see her. He moves off, and Judy crumples to the floor exhausted. She looks at the rat, which is now staring back. PJ looks over a small wall to see Dwayne standing on top of a gravestone that's been shaped into a cross. After looking over all the other gravestones, Dwayne climbs off the cross and PJ runs off into the graveyard. He looks around the area to see if anyone's about, then crouches down beside a tree and gets out his walkie-talkie.
Goose, you there?
Yeah, but I can't hear you too well.
Those goons are around. I've just seen one of their faces. If he's a cop, the life doesn't agree with him.
What'd you say?
Dwayne creeps up behind PJ. PJ stands up and the aerial from his walkie-talkie goes into his eye. Having blinded Dwayne for a time, PJ takes the opportunity to run off. Goose hears the scream down his radio and stares into it stunned. PJ hides behind a gravestone as Dwayne runs past him. PJ runs off in the opposite direction, stops and talks into his radio.
PJ? PJ?
Goose, you there?
What is it? Are you all right?
Just seen the other goon. First one was bad enough. This one makes him look like John Travolta.
Judy's still in the grave. The rat is sniffing her bag, which she dropped on the floor when she fell in. Crouching down, she slowly grabs her bag away from the rat. It goes towards her. She immediately stands up and tries to knock it away with her bag.
Of course I'm right. It's masks. Sort of thing you get in joke shops. What else could it be?
That's what worries me.
Listen, PJ, there's nothing to be scared of.
Goose falls into the open grave.
What are you doing here?
I just dropped in.
Lucky I came by.
Seen either of those guys yet?
No.
From behind a gravestone, PJ spots Mustache wearing a freaky mask.
Achoo! Listen, I reckon we should give it another 5 minutes, then you try and give me a lift up, okay?
Okay. Don't worry, you'll be all right with me. You know what? This reminds me of a really good movie I saw, Blood of the Undead, about these two teenagers who fell into a crypt.
How did they get out?
They didn't.
Oh, Goose, that's just what I want to hear.
Don't worry, you're all right with me. They were turned into zombies.
Oh, Goose, don't.
Zombies.
Goose.
Imagine being turned into one.
Please.
Don't worry, you're with me. Being a zombie isn't all bad. I mean, you get to stay up every night. Of course, you've got to spend the rest of your life dead.
Goose, let's get out of here.
Goose quickly kisses Judy, who's surprised. He goes to do it again, and Judy turns her head.
I'm sorry.
It's PJ, isn't it?
I like you both.
It's PJ. Who can blame you? He looks like Mr. Universe. I'd make Zombie of the Year.
Oh, Goose, you're both attractive in your own way.
Well, you gotta admit, PJ's got the edge.
Okay, PJ's not bad looking, but I've seen better.
Not in this direction.
But like you say, you've got other things going for you. You're nice.
Nice? Who wants to be nice? I want to be sexy.
Goose. Can you hear me, Goose? Because I can hear you.
Oh, no, I left it turned on. That's the trouble with these things. You never know who's on the other end.
Listen, Goose. Thought the idea was for the three of us to split up.
That's right.
So how come I'm the only one doing any splitting?
If you want to talk about your insecurities, we'll get a couch and do it in comfort. Thought this call might have been something important.
It's important if my best friend can't be trusted.
Sergeant?
In future, I may think twice about lending you my stickers.
Listen, PJ, meeting up with her was just an accident, believe me.
Yeah, well, you're like shortchanged. You get powder puff, I get Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
We've got to put a stop to this.
Any sign of them?
Who do you think I'm looking at right now?
You understand?
There's no need to get upset!
Finding them's the problem.
Just our luck. If we had our wheels, we could get out of here, no worries. Listen, if we had our wheels, we wouldn't be in...
BMX?
So what do we do now?
Worry.
Goose, PJ, Powder Puff. That's BMX talk. We're looking for kids on bikes.
Looks like they're heading for the far gate. Our best bet is to double back.
Okay, we'll see you there.
Mighty body and of the world.
You okay?
No worries.
Judy climbs on Goose's shoulders and manages to get out of the grave. She then helps to pull Goose out. PJ runs to the railings of the church boundary and sees the baddie's car still parked up. Judy and Goose look around the graveyard.
Maybe they're still back there.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, no.
Judy and Goose spot Dwayne and Mustache running towards them. They both run off the opposite way through the graveyard. PJ climbs over the church railings and goes to the side of the baddie's car. He then runs back to the cemetery gates. He sees Julian Goose. He takes their bags off them with the walkie-talkies in, and Julian Goose scale the gates to escape.
I'm telling you, they wanted these. You reckon they've got X-ray eyes or something? Nobody knows what's in here except us.
Well, what else would they want?
Maybe they just wanted to scare us, you know? Just a couple of normal, everyday weirdos.
PJ, Julian Goose run off down the street. A drunken tramp is asleep outside the gates of the church. He's hugging a bottle wrapped in a paper bag. The tramp is woken by the activity around him. As he stands up, he looks round at the church gates where he sees two people with goblin faces climbing over them. It's Dwayne and the baddie. The tramp's eyes are wide open and he shakes his head in disbelief. He looks at the bottle and then tips it away. Dwayne and Moustache run to their car to catch up with PJ, Judy and Goose, who are now far away down the street. But as they run, they fall over each other. They get up, they go to their car and open the doors and get in. They move off, but suddenly the car comes to a halt and they immediately get out.
What are you hassling me for? They've let the tires down.
The next day, the sun's shining over the bay and the baddie's car reverses onto a road after having its tyres fixed. Judy, Goose and PJ leave a bike shop. They all wear BMX uniforms with matching coloured stripes and hats. Judy's pushing a bike and PJ has a spare tyre in his hand.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, bye. Thanks a lot.
Now do you believe in miracles?
This wasn't a miracle. It was being in the right place at the right time. Like getting hit by a truck. Now if we could produce a BMX track, that would be a miracle. Sorry. Only one a day. Union rules. Now come on, Judy, do your stuff.
Judy puts on her helmet and makes her way to a large cycle ramp where she rides up and down, turning her bike round in mid-air to cycle down the other side. Goose and PJ look on at her in awe. Judy positions herself at the top of the ramp, pulls up her front wheel, smiles at PJ and Goose, who smile back, then lets herself go and cycles down the other side. Judy does a bunny hop over a grassy knoll. PJ and Goose lie down in the middle of the pavement talking when Judy suddenly jumps over them on a bike. PJ and Goose are surprised but smile at Judy, who then stops her bike to smile back at them. She travels down a long, narrow pavement, twisting and turning her front wheel as she goes, while PJ smiles at her. Judy lies her bike down on the pavement and stands on the side of it. Then she manages to pull it back up again. She spins the bike round in 360-degree circles while making her way to PJ before coming to a stop right next to him.
This could become a habit.
What if you can't give it up?
Is this a private pavement or is anyone invited?
Well, you know what they say. Two's company. Three gets us talked about.
Hey, Rosie, vehicle is Inspector Burns. Thanks to the vehicle is Inspector Burns on board. Four in the vehicle is Inspector Burns. Thanks.
Dwayne and Moustache listen in to the walkie-talkie broadcast.
Won't take long, I reckon. Nothing holds us up. See what I mean?
Jeez, looks like a scrap heap.
So would you if we spread you out in little pieces.
If you want to gloat, why don't you go and find a road accident?
Better still, go and be a road accident.
Is that any way to talk to a customer? A repeat customer?
Ah, well then, pull up some grass and sit down. You have our ears. And for the right money, who knows what else you can get.
PJ to Judy, PJ to Judy, PJ. This is PJ, come in, Judy.
Yeah, what is it, PJ?
Seems like we've got a very satisfied customer.
Remember our chubby little friend? Yeah, he wants another. So could you go to the shed and
pick one up and we'll meet you back here in half an hour.
The bike should be ready by then.
Right, I'm on my way.
Dwayne and Moustache hear the broadcast. Dwayne pulls out a mask.
He won't be needing those.
But she could identify us.
She won't be identifying anyone.
Duane and Mustache shoot off to the marina, where they park up to wait for Judy. She appears on her bike, and Duane and Mustache look out of the sunroof. When they see Judy pass, they get out of the car and walk towards the boathouse where Judy is going to collect another walkie-talkie for the large kid. Inside the boathouse, it's dark. Judy gets out her walkie-talkie and pulls up the aerial.
Judy to PJ.
PJ and Goose fix their bikes with the radio on.
Judy to PJ, come in, please.
Judy hears a noise behind her. She puts down her walkie-talkie and turns round, looking in anticipation. She sees Duane and Mustache. They make their way to her, blocking the exit.
Who are you?
Now, come on, don't be stupid. You can't get away.
What do you want?
We're police officers. We believe you and your friends are withholding stolen property.
You don't look much like police.
We wouldn't be very clever undercover cops if we did. Now, come on, we just want to talk to you.
Where's your identification?
Special branch, miss. We don't risk carrying any.
Sit down, please, miss.
Now, have you ever been in trouble with the police before?
No.
Didn't think so. You're obviously a good kid, but we wouldn't want to see you end up on the inside, would we? So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You tell us where the stuff is, and I promise that's the last you'll hear about it. The detective sergeant here will back me up on this, I'm sure.
I will.
Good man.
But what if the chief doesn't go for it?
The chief will go for it. I just have to give the nod. So you see, sister, it's up to you. You either tell us where the stuff is, or we can take you in.
But how do I know you won't change your mind?
You can take my word for that as a policeman. Well?
Maybe I should call my lawyer first.
What?
Well, if I confess, I could be in real trouble.
Look, you will be if you don't talk.
Seems an awful lot of fuss to be making over a few mouldy apples. And the tree was hanging over the street anyway.
Apples?
Well, almost.
You know what we're talking about. Look, what are we playing games for? I want to beat it out of her.
Look, I'd like to hockey practice myself, mate, but we can't afford to leave any bruises. It's got to look like she drowned naturally. We're going to have to psych her into it.
Judy discreetly switches on her walkie-talkie while they have their backs turned.
All right, Toots, the party's over. My partner here is from the old school, know what I mean? And he likes you. So you just better come up with the information that I was asking you about, because I'm not sure how long I can keep control of it.
Look, if I knew what you were talking about...
We are talking about walkie-talkies. Dozens of them.
Go on, get out of it, you mongrel! Just had it washed. Listen, we're going to have to do something about getting this dirty down here. We've got 2 hours to clear this area. I told you that before, and it's got to be done right away without any mucking around. Is that clear?
All right, don't get your shirt in a knot. I'm going as fast as I can.
Now, don't drop it till I say now. You got that?
Roger.
Look, I've been giving you a break, kid, but I want to know now.
Yeah, now!
A building site and a girder being moved on a tall crane over a car is dropped as the now command comes over the radio from the baddies. The car bursts into flames, then blows up. The foreman looks on and the crane driver puts his hand to his open mouth.
Just going back inside to see if everyone's clear. Don't let her go until I give you the word.
Got it.
Let me have her. She'll talk.
Okay, she's all yours. I'm very disappointed in you. It's your own fault. You realise that, don't you?
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'll tell you everything. Whatever you want to know, please just
all
put
right.
the knife away.
Let her go.
Let her go!
Bye.
A digger is connected by a metal rope to a building. The driver moves off on hearing the let her go signal come over the radio. He pulls down the side of a house, a police station.
Everything is being done to trace the source of the interference, and you are speaking to a senior person.
So we took them home again.
Yes, sir, it is an outrage.
He knows.
Yes, sir, we are as keen as you to apprehend the offenders.
I wonder what's keeping Judy.
Don't listen to that crap. She's lying.
I'm not. My dad's a black belt.
So what? I've got a black car. Who gives a stuff about your old man?
Sounds like trouble.
Dad, you stupid idiot! Look at the peanut done. Look what he's done to me car.
Yes, sir. I know the trouble. Yes, sir. Everything that can be done is being done. Yes, sir. Leave it to us. Goodbye, sir. Thank you.
Constable, a double coffee.
Bayside Police.
PJ and Goose race on their BMXs to get to Judy across a golf course while people are playing. They speed across a road and down an alley. The large kid eating an ice cream cone makes his way across a road to an ice cream van. He buys two more ice creams and makes his way back across the road again. PJ and Goose race over someone's lawn and race towards the large kid, who's now frozen in the middle of the road with two ice cream cones in his hands. As PJ and Goose pass him, they take his ice cream. They take a bite, then throw the rest on the floor. The large kid slips on it, lands on his bum, and he has ice cream all over his clothes. The large kid jumps on his bike in pursuit of PJ and Goose.
Come back! You owe me for two ice creams!
PJ and Goose narrowly miss a man carrying a mattress across the pavement.
Look out! What
the
hell?
The large kid doesn't.
Why the hell don't you look where you're going, you little creep?
It wasn't my fault. They took my ice cream.
You're going to get yourself killed one of these days.
I'm going. I'm going.
The large kid continues his pursuit of PJ and Goose, who race up onto some scaffolding. They just miss hitting a man who swings himself out of the way at the last minute. The large kid takes a shortcut up another ramp and lands headfirst into a sand pit.
What the hell are you doing? Get out of here!
PJ and Goose continue their furious cycling over ramps and gardens.
No kid knocks off stuff and then takes it home.
Where is it?
It's true. Dad trained us that way. It's always been a family business, you know?
Judy thumps the baddies in the stomach with her elbow and makes a run for it. Dwayne grabs a fish hook that's on a long pole with a sharp hook at one end. He chases Judy through the boathouse, whilst all the time trying to stab her with the fish hook. Judy jumps from the first floor to escape. She's swiftly followed by Dwayne. Judy runs out onto the pontoons, as does Dwayne. She runs on board a boat, and Dwayne makes a dive for her, missing her by inches. She runs inside the vessel and locks herself in a room. Mustache has recovered from being winded and now looks for Dwayne and Judy. Escapes to the top of the boat and makes a run for it. She finds herself cornered by Dwayne behind her and Mustache in front of her. She runs the opposite way and jumps into a rowing boat. She starts to row off. She's suddenly aware that she's still tied to the pontoon. The baddies reel her back in.
Hook, line and sinker. Dwayne,
PJ and Goose charge at the baddies.
Judy!
Stand up in the name of the law!
Not stopping.
Dwayne dives into the water out of the way, and Goose sets off a fire extinguisher at Moustache.
Try that slime.
The kids throw boxes at the baddies.
Have a nice day.
Come on, Frosty.
There's a shark coming.
PJ and Goose cycle towards the boathouse, and Judy runs to get a bike from inside. Dwayne and Moustache slowly climb out of the water back onto the pontoon.
Where did the box come from? Oh, that's the boy. Come on.
PJ, Judy and Goose race off on their bikes out of the marina as the baddies run after them. Dwayne loses his hat as he's running down the pontoon.
What a mess!
Dwayne gives hand signals to his accomplice in order to get the car out of its parking space. Dwayne is nearly run over. Judy, PJ and Goose are on a road and cycling as fast as they can. Behind them in a car are Dwayne and Moustache.
Just gotta get the walkie-talkies.
I won't kill them. I'll just knock them over.
Dwayne and Moustache pass Judy, Goose and PJ in the car and suddenly spin the car parallel in front of them. Judy, Goose and PJ cycle off the road and down an embankment, missing the vehicle and into a water theme park. Dwayne and Moustache also run into the park past a queue of waiting customers. Dwayne stops short of going in, then goes back to the car.
We are police officers!
Judy, Goose and PJ walk their bikes to a water tunnel. They put the bikes in front of them and slide down inside. Moustache walks to the mouth of one of the tunnels and looks in. A little boy walks over to him and pushes him. For a while, Moustache holds onto a rail, then lets go and slides down inside.
Come here, you little wog! You beephole! Come here!
Judy, Goose and PJ shoot out at the bottom and leave the slide. Moustache slides down on his back and he spins around inside. He comes out the end of the chute, stands up, but as he does, a boy flies out the tunnel and knocks him over back into the water.
That way!
As Judy, PJ and Goose leave the park, Dwayne drives the car in front of them, but just misses them as they cycle off. Moustache, soaking wet, runs over to Dwayne.
I told you better drive my bloody car!
Not bad, eh?
You haven't even got a license!
Get in!
Had a bit of trouble with the handbrake, but not bad.
Look at these shoes, they're so close to you! My suit is ruined!
Moustache takes off his shoes and water drips out. He gets into the driver's side of the car and drives in the direction of the kids, who now cycle hard and fast to get away down a street. Dwayne and Moustache's car gains more speed. The kids stop cycling and look over their shoulder.
So, do you reckon we lost them?
Yeah, I reckon we have.
I reckon again.
The baddie's car appears from around the corner and the kids cycle off. The car misses the turning the kids take and has to reverse. Judy, PJ and Goose bunny hop onto a parked car's bonnet to clear a fence in front of them. They cycle through a rugby field. Goose catches the rugby ball. As he cycles with it, the rugby team try to tackle him. He throws the ball to another player as Goose and Judy leave the rugby field and rejoin the road. In hot pursuit behind them in the car are Dwayne and Moustache. The kids cycle through the busy streets of Australia and make their way down a very narrow pavement with buildings on either side. In front of them, a man pushes a clothes rail with jackets and trousers on. PJ, Judy and Goose cycle through them, but Dwayne and Moustache hit the clothes rail with their car. In the middle of the square is a vicar selling cakes under a gazebo. The kids sail past on their bikes. Dwayne drives the car straight into the vicar's stall and cakes and clothes fly everywhere. PJ, Goose and Judy cycle into a shoe shop as Dwayne and Moustache follow them on foot. They both fall into a display of shoes. The kids cycle back outside the shop and mount a ramp which sends them through the square's fountain. Dwayne tries to jump the fountain but trips up and lands headfirst into the water. The cyclists make their way up a ramp to a second floor mall of shops, followed by Dwayne and Moustache. The bikers pass a stack of mattresses and Goose pulls on one as he cycles past and they all come tumbling down on Dwayne. Moustache and Dwayne fight to get to their feet and continue the chase. An electrician up a ladder fixes an electrical sign hanging from the roof. Goose and PJ go underneath the ladder and squeeze through. As the baddies run together, they are unable to get underneath and knock the ladder over. The electrician hangs from the roof as the electrical sign fuses.
Watch the ladder, watch what you're doing there. Watch out! Oh, God. Help! Help!
The kids knock over some boxes as they pass a shop. They take a turning and find themselves cycling through a restaurant. They pass through without any problems. Dwayne and Moustache in hot pursuit jump over tables and food and pizzas fly everywhere. A pizza falls beside a man on the ground floor and he looks up. A little boy looks on as the kids cycle down an escalator. Dwayne and Moustache run down the escalators.
I don't care if you're pop off. Who's going to clear all this bloody mess up and pay for
it? That's a tax deduction.
Here, that's not fair.
That's life, pal.
The baddies run back to their car. The vicar's fixing his stall. They break the table, which he's just repaired.
What are you doing? Stop!
Hey, move!
You can't do that!
Dwayne and Mustache get into their car. Judy, PJ and Goose cycle through a large open-plan car park onto an industrial estate. They make their way to a door, and all three of them go inside a building.
Come on, Goose.
The kids cycle into the middle of the warehouse and stop.
Freaks.
Well, I can tell you one thing, they're definitely not cops.
Well, don't worry. They can't get at us in here.
Dwayne and Mustache burst through the doors of the warehouse and start circling Judy, Goose and PJ as they try to find a way to get out. Dwayne peers out through the car's sunroof. They try and get to every available exit, but to no avail. As the car spins, more and more smoke comes from the tyres.
A bit steadier, mate! That's a bit steadier! What are you doing, mate? Are you trying to make them dizzy?
Mustache loses control of the car in a spin, and the kids take the opportunity and escape through an office door.
They're going to be sick in a minute! We've lost the children!
Don't those jokers ever take a break? Haven't they heard of unions? What's wrong with time out like everybody else?
The group exit the warehouse and cycle down the street. Dwayne and Mustache are right behind them. The car goes very close behind the kids, and they turn off the road to drop down some stone steps onto another road.
Hit them by now is a wonder to me.
You're learning, that's the attitude. If you can do it with that sort of attitude, we'll hit them sometime before lunch.
The car is still close behind them. They pedal faster to get away, but the car overtakes and pulls right in front of them. Judy, Goose and PJ are forced off the road and cycle down some wooden steps onto a beach. Mustache gets out of the car to see where they've gone, and Dwayne gets into the driving seat. Dwayne reverses the car and hits a wall. Mustache jumps onto the sunroof. Mustache manages to get back inside the vehicle. Dwayne lets go of the steering wheel and tries to close the sunroof. Mustache gets hold of the wheel and tries to steer the car. It careers from left to right across the beach, and the car heads directly to PJ, Judy and Goose, who scatter out of the way. The car hits empty barrels.
Get out! Get out!
The car careers all over the area.
For those drums!
The car hits a stack of oil drums, and as they try to get the car back under control, it hits a row of scaffolding, and they all fall over one by one. Mustache grabs the steering wheel from Dwayne and pulls it from side to side.
Like this!
Let me do it!
No! Let me try!
I'll try!
PJ, Goose and Judy cycle as fast as they can to get away, but the baddies overtake them in the car, forcing them off the path and down a hill onto another dust track. The car puts its brakes on and spins round, then hits a stationary vehicle. Steam is pouring out of the car's engine. Dwayne climbs out of the sunroof, and Moustache climbs out of the window. Moustache looks at the car in disbelief. It's a write-off.
Not bad, considering.
PJ, Goose and Judy jump a large gap between one building roof and another.
Shortcut!
The kids cycle down an iron girder from the roof to the ground below and make their way to a wire gate. They enter a building. Back at the car, Moustache shakes Dwayne violently.
That was good.
You idiot!
I'm an idiot!
What do you think you are?
That's right!
Right! What can you drive? Nothing!
Nothing!
You couldn't even drive a baby's pram!
No!
You couldn't buy drive a fridge, could you?
No!
You couldn't drive my grandmother into a grave!
Look, I don't care if that stuff was stolen, smuggled, or came in a cereal packet. Let's just give it back to them.
Great idea. Listen, if those goons are mad now, how are they going to be with most of it gone?
Maybe we should go to the police.
Maybe she's right.
You two go. I'll come visiting days.
What do you mean? We're the good guys.
We've been selling stuff that doesn't belong to us. We could wind up with this kind of view for some time.
Well, let's just lie low. Hope it all blows over.
The boss.
So, everything's ready to go tomorrow. We've got the transport, we've got the shooters, we've got the muscle. Only one thing we don't have. And for that, you can thank these two prawns. But about this, we're dead. And incidentally, so are you.
Hi, sir.
You got till noon.
Look, if you hadn't let me thump that girl, we wouldn't be in.
Don't you ever let this happen to us again.
We must have spoken to dozens of kids on BMX bikes, Sarge, but no luck.
No, not one had a walkie-talkie or knew anything about them.
Well, they're out there somewhere, so you go out and find them. Now.
Yes, Sarge.
Yes, Sarge.
And don't come back until you do.
Oh, no, Sarge.
Two police officers leave the police station and drive to a kid's playground where the large kid eats a burger on his bike. The policeman grabs the kid's radio from him. PJ, Judy and Goose are in a police station.
Hi, son.
I haven't done nothing.
Where did you get that?
What?
Wonder if I'll be out of here for my 21st.
Come on, it's years away.
That's what worries me.
Why did we take those things? We must have been mad.
You're right. We'll plead insanity.
Not perhaps the brightest constable on the force, but, in this case, the offenders have been apprehended. Yes. All right, then, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Goodbye, sir. Goodbye.
Well, I am amazed. Such a sorry-looking bunch like you could cause all that trouble. Well, what are we going to do with you?
Give us another chance.
You've been stupid, you know that. Well, 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 do you?
Yes,
Sergeant.
But you won't do it again?
No.
No, Sergeant.
Well, next time you find anything, you bring it to us. Could have been a bomb, for God's sake. Anything. However, if you promise...
We promise.
Wait a minute. I haven't finished yet. If you promise me that you won't be as stupid as that again, and maybe, well, we can forget about the whole thing.
Oh, great.
Hang on. You're not getting off scot-free.
It's what you might call good news and bad news.
Firstly, all that chaos that you caused is going to cost money.
Well, that's the good news.
However, knowing that these two are around the traps again is of some help to us. There's a reward out from the banks, you know, for information leading to their conviction.
You mean we might crack it for a few bucks?
Oh, more than a few bucks.
If we catch them.
If. Look, Sarge, I've got an idea how we might do it.
I've had enough of your ideas.
Now you go outside and wait until we can get you transported home.
But it's a good one.
I've got a better one outside.
But all we have to do is...
Outside.
The kids walk through the police station past the container with the radios in.
Stay out of trouble. Somebody label this, put it away. I don't want to see it here when I come back.
Hello.
Oh. Yes. I don't know. We promised we wouldn't do anything stupid.
This isn't stupid. It's civic responsibility.
Helping the police.
Helping ourselves.
And every other kid around here.
You reckon they'll all be in it?
They'll be in it if it means getting a BMX track. All we need is the bait.
But the horse stopped in the middle of the intersection, sir. Well, it did its business, you see. And then these dogs came.
Whilst a police officer has his back turned on the phone, one of the kids takes the container of walkie-talkies off the desk.
Yes, sir. I suppose I did lose my grip.
A BMX bike convention, and lots of kids are on their bikes around PJ. He holds the walkie-talkie box over his head.
Quiet! Quiet! Listen! This will lead us to the goons' hideout!
Like to see their faces when they find it's empty.
Once we trace the hideout, all we do is call the cops.
And sit back and wait for the reward to roll in.
But what if the goons start to get nasty?
They are nasty.
Oh, you know. Try something.
You've all got your ammo. Use it. Yeah!
Goose holds up a bag of flour.
OK, what do we want?
When do we want it?
Yeah! You all know what to do! Yeah! Let's go!
The kids all cycle off on their BMXs. A car. Moustache is driving. Dwayne is in the passenger seat and the boss is in the back. He leans forward and shows his watch to Moustache.
You're running out of time.
I don't believe it. For 2 days, those goons would have killed to catch us, and now they're going to let us die of neglect.
They'll find us. Don't worry.
Yeah, if they don't, the police will.
You thought it was a good idea just now.
If it works.
It'll work. Look, it could mean our very own track.
Yeah, it could mean our very own trial. We knocked off police evidence.
Yeah, but only to catch crooks.
Here they are. It's okay. You can take it. We don't want any trouble.
Thanks.
I don't want anyone phoning the cops.
We've given you the box, you don't need her.
Let's put it this way, lads. You cross us, she's dead, okay?
Don't move a muscle, Spartacus. I'm aching to kill someone.
The boss grabs Judy and puts her into the back of the car. Moustache has his knife out and puts it in front of PJ's face. He moves back to get into the car, but the handle won't open the door. He jumps into the window instead. The baddies drive off with Judy.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, well, don't worry. At least we've still got a chance of tracing.
Put your toe down, we can still make it. Start breaking over those walkie-talkies.
Gee, it's going to be easier breaking out of jail.
But we give you some practice, you'll need it.
Shut up!
Unit 1 to base.
Come in, Unit 1.
Goose, I've got to be sight now. They're heading north along the coast road.
As the car passes one of Goose's friends, he radios Goose to tell him.
This reminds me of a film I once saw. Kiss the butt off my tyre lever or something.
Kiss my what?
Anyway, it was about this crazy with an axe who was driving this busload of tourists, you know? By the time he finished with them, nobody needed a return ticket. Except this one girl he's mad about. But she doesn't feel the same way about him, as she reckons anyone who uses an axe to settle an argument would not fit into the YWCA debating team where she's president. So she says no when he asks for a hand in marriage. Oh, which is a mistake, because he takes it anyway and keeps it in a box, just like that one.
Look, would you shut up? I'm trying to concentrate.
It's making me sick, but God, I really want to hear the end.
Unit 3 to base. They're heading north, past the lagoon.
Thanks,
Unit 3. Got it.
I wonder what they're going to do with Judy.
Don't even think about it.
This crazy is sitting in this spooky house night after night, staring at the box. Then he slowly starts to undo the wire. And then he opens it. The girl's hand jumps straight out of the box, grabs him around the neck, strangles him, and he's turned into a zombie, which doesn't do much for his social life, because he can't go to the beach parties anymore. But he goes anyway and takes his axe with
him. Enough! I can't believe my bleating ears. This is the kind of stuff they let the kids see these days. I mean, what sort of parents they got, eh?
Another friend radios Goose, the police here.
Bloody kids.
And left into
Unit 6 to base. They're approaching West Street and turning left into Gertrude Street.
Okay, thanks, Unit 6. We got that.
That's the factory district. It's a dead end.
Goose and PJ draw a line on a street map where the baddies are heading. Mustache's car pulls up onto the side of a street and the boss gets out. Judy and Dwayne stay in the back seat.
Why? Can't move on with that. Keep an eye on her, right?
Right.
Don't let her hit you, Dwayne.
Smartass. Gee, you've put some wire on this, haven't you? All units converge on Sirius Road. Repeat, Sirius Road. Wait there until we join you, but keep out of sight. Okay, let's go. What are you looking at? Nobody's gonna help you, doll.
From around the corner, hundreds and hundreds of BMX bikers appear. Dwayne finally gets all the wire off the container and is about to open the lid.
The ball game is finally going our way, huh? You and your little disco friends on their little bikes have lost. It's empty. You bat! Get out of the car!
Dwayne takes off the lid and all that's inside is a blanket.
Get out! Get out of the car! You're right in the poo now, sister. Shut it! Explain yourself to him. Come on, come on.
Your little walkie-talkies have gone walkies.
Hey.
Hundreds of BMX bikers stop in front of the criminals.
What's he talking about?
They're being looked after.
Bloody kids. Let's put the frighteners on them. You get the clubs. I'll get the shooters. Come on!
It's all right shooting kids, boss. Don't even take
they're
it seriously.
Children. I mean,
Dwayne is getting guns out of the back of the car when Judy jumps on him, shutting the boot closed. Judy throws the car keys away. The BMX bikers all race towards the baddies throwing flour. One biker pulls a wheelie and knocks Mustache to the ground. The boss has flour thrown at him and he tries to clip one of the bikers around the ear. A cyclist drives straight at him, knocking him flying backwards onto the boot of the car. Netting is thrown over the warehouse men, and Mustache has cyclists riding over his back, pushing his face into the flour on the ground. The boss grabs Judy.
Don't even hold me, he'll blow it!
Come on, you, you're coming with us.
Oh, it breaks you, Scott.
Come on, God, oh, in the back, or I'll break your arm.
What a mess.
Judy is thrust into a truck. The boss, Mustache, and Dwayne make a quick escape. PJ runs after them. PJ runs faster and faster after the truck. Goose is on his bike and is chasing after PJ. PJ just manages to cling on to the back of the truck. He holds on for dear life as it speeds away. The boss speaks to his accomplices.
You dummies! You prawns! You mummified ponces! Brains! They'll have to send out search parties to look for yours!
Settle down, will you?
You blow this job, I'll have your noses, both of you!
Well, that's...
And your arms and your legs! I'll burn you, I'll cut you!
We didn't do anything wrong!
As the truck picks up speed, Goose finds it increasingly difficult to keep up. PJ still hangs off the back.
Come on, Goose! Come on!
Born and bred in Stoke Newington. Respected in Hackney. Fated in Tottenham. Little bit of bother, come to Australia. Land of opportunity, the lucky country. Lucky I should cope, though. What have I caught for out here? Pair of dummies. Kids on bikes. And I look like I've fell out the back of a baker's van!
Goose still tries to keep up on his bike as the van goes up a hill. Goose's feet spin round in circles as he pedals harder and harder to keep up. Dwayne notices something in the side mirror of the van and nudges Moustache.
Hey, there's a BMX bicyclist along the side here.
What?
There's a BMX bicyclist!
The van swerves to knock Goose off.
He's right. BMXer.
Goose manages to catch the van up and jump on the back. Goose and PJ climb onto the roof of the van. The boss swerves the vehicle violently, and Goose nearly loses his grip.
He's hanging over the side.
Come on, run please.
Into a tree.
In a section of a field, some men are using foam fertilizer on a patch of grass. The van is travelling high up on a hill overlooking the sea below. Goose regains his balance and climbs back on top of the van. Both Goose and PJ hold on for dear life. The boss swings the van from one side to another. Slowly, the pair make their way forward to the driver's cabin. They sit on the roof rack, where a canvas sheet is rolled up.
What's going on?
I said, shut up! They're on here!
Goose signals to PJ to unravel the canvas. They do so. Unable to see where he's going, the boss swerves the vehicle. It ploughs straight into some parked cars, which in turn hit a large truck which makes the foam fertilizer. It bursts one of its pipes and foam shoots out. The police make their way to the scene. Foam shoots everywhere as some men try to take control of the leaking pipe. PJ, Goose and Judy overpower the crooks as the police arrive to take control. Sometime later, a sign reads Manly BMX Track, grand opening, donated by the police department. Lots of BMX bikers cycle around a purpose-built BMX track in the woods. Judy, PJ and Goose smile and point at everyone cycling round performing stunts on their bikes. The three of them wear smart, brand new BMX clothing. They all enter a cycling competition. PJ and Goose get a trophy, and Judy gets first prize. They all smile and laugh on a plinth as trophies are given out. The end.